And you're a church. Thank you for opening your house, your bosom for us, to honor you in our lives and to be blessed by you and eventually to be like you, that we may become Christ. Give us your heart, your eyes, that we, every and each one of us, would become Christ. Give us your image every day and every opportunity we encounter you. Pray this in our Lord Jesus Christ and the prayers of all the saints. Amen. Okay, so we are getting the sound down a little bit. Getting closer to, not closer, we're Thanksgiving week. So I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. And we're actually discussing something related to Thanksgiving, which is the joy of giving. And as you know, we've been talking about what makes us happy. And we knew that certain practices make people happy. And if you want to know what is the most one of them that make people really happy, is actually the blessing of giving. And that's not just a... Of course, the Bible says that. It's very, very clear. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And you know, blessed in the Bible, usually, you know, the other synonym for it is happy. It's happier to give than to receive. So giving is something strange. It is a commandment, but it is a virtue. And it is the expression of love, like it's really what love is. It's a spiritual gift from God. It's a combination of so many things together. The amazing thing about giving is, like, when we give, we become like God. We really become like Him because He's a giver. And, you know, as you know, I love this verse. God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. If you have a hard time feeling bad to enjoy something, you know, memorize this verse. He is the one who gives us everything to enjoy. God wants us to enjoy. God made things, want to give. It's like some wonderful father who wants to give everything to his children and keep giving and giving and giving, and we become like him. We participate in this. He actually said that. He said, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as Father also is merciful. Science says that when you give, it actually triggers some drugs of enjoyment in your brain. And they said, like, when they tested that, they said it's the equivalent of food and sex, believe it or not. That's the giving. So I think it's a good thing. They say, like, it triggers, it gives the same, you know, amount of that science. You know, I'm not, you know, saying this is my word, this is science. True story, girl was asked by her father and mother to share. So she started learning sharing. So she decided to share her cookies, you know, at lunch, shared her cookies with her friend, or gave her friend the cookie, and then came back and said, Daddy, you know, I was able to, you know, to share with my friend. I said, good, I'm proud of you. I said, no, there's something. I said, okay, what is it? I said, I don't know, like something in here, something, I don't know how to explain, but it feels so good, like something in here, you know. So even the little girl was able to understand that and feel that. And that's what it says, that it actually, you know, helps us, you know, help, you know, mentally and physically and immunity system and all of this. And no wonder there are a lot of promises in the Bible for the givers. So it's actually something natural with our body. It's an act of faith that people, I might not feel it right away. I just told you about the instant gratification, but that's not the key. But later on, it builds something inside of me. It builds my faith, and it makes me, you know, a different person. And we're going to explain that. So one thing that when you hear the word giving, I think, you know, it's all over the place. Are we talking about giving the poor or giving the church or giving my friend or what is it? So I'm here going to explain to you all the kinds of giving that was mentioned in the Bible and how they are given for us. Like, giving is a virtue for you. God never commands you to do anything for people. God can give all the poor in the world. God doesn't need us. And as a matter of fact, we always heard that the rich needs the poor more than the poor needs the rich. Maybe the rich can give the poor something to eat, but the poor is going to give the rich heart, is going to give him eternal life, believe it or not, you know? So actually, God made it that way. God made some people rich, some people poor, you know, and we'll understand his wisdom. So the types of giving in the Bible. The first one is the tithe, and I'm sure most of us know that. It's like 10% of your income. And it was mentioned very, very early in the Bible, even before the law comes. Before the law, if you know the story of Abraham, you know, he went and he got like some plunder out of a war, and he gave him a tithe of all to Melchizedek. So, you know, it said that Abraham gave one-tenth. Jacob, that's before the law. And this stone, which I have set as a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. That gives you an understanding that's not... I don't know if God made this or people made it, because that's before God commands anyone. It was very obvious that God did not command this, but people did this anyways. And then later on, in the law, it was clearly mentioned that people would give their tithe, their 10%, and it says here, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And concerning the tithe of the Lord, or the tithe of the herd, or the flock, or whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. Holy meaning dedicated to the Lord. Why is that? Why is that? What is the wisdom here? The wisdom here is that God is reminding us constantly that we are not the owners of our lives. And we are not really in total control, but he is. As a matter of fact, what God is saying, you can enjoy 90% of what I give you. But 10% you don't touch, it's holy to the Lord. It belongs to the Lord. Why? So you learn that he is the giver, he is the real owner of what I have. True story. A church had a small parking lot and was using the parking lot of another plaza. So they had an agreement with the plaza to rent like their parking lot for free. But they put an agreement so we know what are the rules. So they made the rule that the plaza would give like the parking lot to the church for free only 51 Sundays of the 52 in the year. Then when they saw the contract, I'm sure it's for free. So he asked, why 51, not 52? And the owner said, I just want you 1 week, because if I give you every week, you're going to think that this is your own parking lot. Just 1 week a year to remind you that it is mine and it's not yours, okay? When everybody has to park out there, that people, at least in your congregation, know that this is not, doesn't belong to the church. So that's the the idea behind it. And not only that, but because God is an owner of 10%, then we are partners. And this becomes the blessing that he puts in my life. Later on, God says it clearly. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithe and offerings. Meaning, this belongs to me, like I own it. So this is not kind of, it is giving, but it's not kind of giving. It's just a constant reminder that I'm not the owner of what I have, but God is. Where is this tithe, and what is it used for? Or how, sorry, I'm sorry, how is it usually given? God says it's the first fruit. Like, you do this first, before you touch anything else. It says that, the first of the fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase. Meaning, when the people used to get the crops, the very first 10% would go first to the Lord, so it becomes holy. God owns it, and then he blesses the 90% that are left to be even more abundant than 90%. So it is first in time and first in quality, because usually when they reap the best in the beginning as an honor to God. And when they fail to do that, and when they started to give what's not good, not the best, not the cream, he started to say, why are you robbing me? Like, I own, this belongs to me. Trust me that this is good for you. Where does the tithe go? It's not meant to be given to the poor, as you will know. It is actually to the church, to the house of God. It's very clear in the command. And we made ordinances to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all fruit of the trees, year by year, to the house of the Lord, to bring the firstborn of our sons and our cattle, as it is written in the law, and in the firstborn of our herds and our flocks, to the house of our God, to the priest who ministers in the house of our God, to bring to the priest. Did you notice this? Yeah. Yeah, just a reminder. Yeah. To bring the first fruits of our dough, our offering, the fruits of all kinds of trees, the new wine and oil, to the priest, to the store rooms of the house of our God, and to bring the tithe of our land and the Levites, for the Levites should receive the tithe of all your farming communities. Basically, God made one of the tribes just to serve God. So God is giving, actually receiving 10% of the people. These people belong to me. These are holy to me. So when you bring the offerings, so you can take care of these people who are serving me. And also said, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. Why is that? Why is that? The purpose of this, that God's house is always open, is always strong, is always glorious, and not in need. It's always giving and not receiving. And actually, when we fail to do that, that's when the kingdom of God, believe it or not, like, grows very, very slowly. And the word of God is not preached. And when people sinned against God in this, like, the people of Israel, like, instead of, like, flourishing amongst all nations, and God's house become glorious in the days of David and Solomon, it just shrunk. And the glory of God was like, it was a poor place. And it was not a glorious place. It was not a place to give rest and to give comfort and to support others. Became a poor place. That is not the purpose. That is not the key. And when people sinned in that, you know, God really rebuked them very much. Tithe is not actually kind of giving, and I wanted to say tithe first so you don't confuse this with giving, because that's not really giving. This is actually like taxes. When you pay taxes to the government, you're not really giving anything to the government, because the government already, you know, gives you the roads, you know, the laws, the judges, this and that, and they spend, of course, very wisely. So, you know, that's why you give a lot. So this is not something you give. That's not a charity. It has nothing to do with charity, but it is like taxes, as I said. And that's, for me, like when the government takes your taxes, is actually to spend on you. So when the tithe goes to the church, because the church supports you, so that's actually, you're paying that for you, for your own thing, and not necessarily for God. And that's why when people didn't do it, God really, like, gave it to them. He said, will a man rob God? You're going to steal me? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithe and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now, and this is the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will be no room enough to receive it. God knew that giving is not the easiest virtue. That's why he gave a promise. Give, try me. It's actually the only command ever that was said, try me, by this, because he knew that we're going to be weak in front of this. And also he said how much people were not blessed because they robbed God. Why? Because this is something belongs to God. It's for God's house and for God's kingdom. God's house is God's kingdom. It's not shrinking God's house, but it's shrinking God's kingdom. He said, you looked for much, but indeed it came too little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is in ruin. My house is ruined. While every one of you runs to his own house, I called for a drought on the land and on all the labor of your lands. Some people might say, well, that was in the Old Testament, not the New Testament. Not exactly, because Jesus actually confirmed that in the New Testament when the scribes and Pharisees were like, you know, they were like being very, very critical with the tithe, but they were leaving mercy. He said, you ought to do this without leaving the other undone. You got to do both. And, you know, he confirmed that very, very clearly. Again, the bad news here, that it is not giving, and that's not considered giving. It is a growing in faith. It is giving, but it's not the giving that we have in our mind, that I want to give the poor. I want to be generous. I want to grow in this virtue. When you hear this, that's not about tithing. Tithing, this is your taxes that you give to God regardless for growing the kingdom. Here comes the second way of giving, which is the offering. That's a beautiful one. These are the ones that are close to God's heart. This, the offering, is when you give God freely out of desire above the commandment of tithe. This is your own will. Whatever comes, you know, to your heart, something, you know, out of nowhere, you know, not necessarily because of a blessing, could be because of a blessing that God gave you, but something that you want to grow in, you know, something is like weighing in your heart. And there's no specific, you know, amount for that. It's just up to anyone, as it says here. Speak to the children of Israel. Next slide. Next. Yeah. Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. So actually, God is asking for it, but he says, like, this is up to you. I want to leave this up to you. I want you to grow in giving, and I want you to grow in generosity. And you'll understand in a little bit how this virtue is very, very, very important. Another time, he says, the children of Israel brought a free will offering. That's another name, free will offering to the Lord. All the men and women whose heart were willing to bring material for all kinds of work, which the Lord, by the hand of Moses, has commanded to be done. Another time, every man shall give as he's able according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. That's in 2 Corinthians. What's the key word in all these verses that I just read? Key word in the offering was repeated in all the verses. Heart. Oh, sorry. I don't know what's going on. Key word was repeated in these four verses that I just said. Heart. According to your heart. This is something you're thinking about. This is something weighing on your heart. So my heart is not just thinking about getting and what I want to enjoy in life, but like I want to give. And by the way, this is something actually hereditary. This is something hereditary. Like generous people, usually their children are generous. So maybe you came from a family that was not generous. We need to break these chains of sin and greed that didn't help our parents. You know, and anyone who experienced that knows very, 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 very well that there is like tremendous blessing. I've never ever seen a generous person who is in need or in a lot of debts or like, you know, someone who can't make it and, you know, the credit cards are piling and, you know, the loans are just accumulating and things are not working out. I see this a lot. I see people making a lot but not saving anything. There's no blessing. And, you know, again, it comes from generation to generation. So this is actually a question that I have to ask myself because, as I said, you know, it runs. It runs in the family. So the first one is the tithing, and the second is offering out of my heart, free will. The third is almsgiving. This is giving to the poor. This, when you notice someone who's in need, and your heart moves for this person, and you want to help someone. This is the most beautiful one of them, you know. And the purpose of that, again, that we become sensitive to people's needs. That when I see someone is out of work, you know, that I check on them. When I see that there is need around me, you know, I just don't pass by like the Samaritan. You know, the Good Samaritan and the other people who passed by just didn't notice anything. So dangerous. It hardens the heart, makes me selfish. The rich man was very rich, living in his house, and Lazarus was right at his door. Right at his door. His heart never moved for him. God doesn't want that. God doesn't want our heart to be hardened for any reason. So, it was said many times, he who has two tunics, people usually had only one. So if you had two, mean you're rich. If you had two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. But rather give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things are clean to you. This verse I read last week, And I felt like I'm reading it for the very first time in my life. Look at this verse clearly. This is an unbelievable verse. I've never seen, like, somehow I missed it all my life. Actually, it came to me before actually preparing. It says, but rather give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things are clean to you. Wow, that's a powerful statement. All things are clean to me, pure, like all things are good and for good use and for blessing. Really? Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in heaven that does not fail. The basic kind of of giving is actually when we fast. Believe it or not, one of the major purposes of fasting is that I even save from what I eat so I can give. I save so I can give. And when people fasted for just the sake of fasting, God said that. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To share your bread with the hungry and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? No wonder in Lent we don't sing and say, blessed are those who fast too much. Right? We don't say that, right? We say, blessed are those who give to the poor. Poor? We're fasting. Yeah, that's the purpose of fasting. Feel for others. Feel for the hungry. And not only feel for them, but practically, because people used to only have money to eat. Nothing more than this. Like, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, countries that you don't know, but you know, as just as close as Egypt, most of the money goes to food. People spend their money on food. So if I don't have anything to give, what do? I fast so I can give, share my bread with the hungry, believe it or not. So this is just, you know, to understand how important that is. No wonder when the early Christians believed, what did they do? Did something which is the very last kind of giving. The extravagant generosity. These are the crazy people. Okay? Starting from Zacchaeus, who gave everything, ending with Warren Buffett, who gave $37 billion to charity. One-time deal. He left $3 billion to his children because he doesn't want them to be too rich or too poor. So, yeah, just, you know, just enough that they can survive. $3 billion to his children. Billion is nothing, you know. 37 gave it one shot. I'm going to touch base on that later on. The widow who gave the two mites, Jesus who praised all what she had, gave it all. The woman who poured the ointment of Jesus' body with 300 denarii. What's the 300 denarii? A wage of an entire year. So, how much is that? What's the average? What's the average income in America? 30, 40, something like this? One time, everything they have. Is this something people are asked to do? Never. Was Zacchaeus asked to do that? Never. The woman who poured the ointment on Jesus, was she asked to do that? Never. But when she did it, and when the widow gave the two mites, did Jesus say, no, I know you're poor, just keep the two mites. You have nothing, just keep them. Did he say that? How come God accepts the 2 cents of the poor woman? He has no heart. Like, why doesn't he say, like, when she poured everything, why did he accept that? Why didn't he say, no, like, save this to the poor? No, go ahead. Sure. When Zacchaeus said that, why didn't Jesus tell him, no, Zacchaeus, you know, just 10%. 10% is good. No. It's good for you. It's good for you. You know, this is something important for you. And that brings us to actually the benefits. You know, why is giving important? Why are we talking about it like this? And why God insisted on it in such a way? Few things that was very, very, very clear in the Bible, that giving shows my love for God. So you put your money where your mouth is. It's easy to say, I believe. It's very, very easy to say, I believe in God. But it's very hard when you practice that. That's how the early Christian did it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God gave. Love is no love without giving. There is giving without love. But there is no love without giving. It's a practical way of showing my love for God. The second is giving is the antidote to the love of money, which is the source of all evil. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Very easy to say, I don't love money. Sure, prove it. People, you know, hate each other. Marriages fail because of money, and they say, we don't love money. I wonder if we love it, what we would have done. So it's a practical way, because, you know, to help us, you know, work with the love of money, which is the source of all evil. The third is the giving builds my faith. You know, it's a muscle. The more you use it, the more this muscle is going to be strengthened. And this is actually one of the greater ways of building faith. This is one of the quickest ways of building faith. He says that, bring all tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now, this says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will be no room enough to receive it. Can you do it or not? Like, I promise you, but you don't have enough money for the rest of the month. Will you do it? Will you do it? That's why it goes first. Will you do it? And here is a test of faith. And sometimes we can pass, and sometimes we can fail. That's okay. But we can keep trying until we pass in that. And next, giving is an investment for eternity. This is the only money that's going to last. The rest is just going to go. This is the only money that you can transfer up there. Let them, the rich, do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life, making friends up there, as Jesus said in another occasion. And of course, as you know, that God promised so much blessing in return. You know, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing. You know, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sow bountifully will also reap bountifully. Last word. I remember very, very well when Warren Buffett gave his $37 billion. And by the way, this is the biggest donation ever happened in history. There was an email. I don't know if you've ever gotten this email. It was like a PowerPoint presentation about Warren Buffett, how he never changed his car. He's like Lincoln. How he never changed his house. How he lived a very, very simple life. Basically, when some people see that, they say, that's a greedy man. You got a lot of money. You could enjoy that. And in the end, he would give everything. And as you know, the famous Bill Gates, all his income went to, you know, a charity that he opened, you know, Bill and Melinda Gates. He opened a charity, put all their assets in that. And actually, Warren Buffett, he actually donated the $37 billion to Bill Gates Foundation. I asked myself when this happened, why did you make these people rich specifically? Why did you make these people rich specifically? Maybe for a good reason. Maybe they were good stewards over the money. Maybe you knew in advance that this is what they're going to do with it. Let's learn. This is the biggest lesson in our, like, in our history. We believe in the Bible, and we believe that the love of money is the root of all evil. We believe it, but we don't practice it. You know, some principles, we believe in it, but we don't practice it. So this is an area that God is calling us to grow in. To grow in. Not for the sake of the poor, and not for the sake of the church, and not for the sake of anyone, but for my own soul and for my own sake. And it also, you know, shows how, you know, like how good stewards we are on the gifts of God. You know, when I am a good steward, when I use what God gives me for Him and for His glory, God can entrust me over more and more. And He says that if you're faithful with the physical stuff, I can give you the spiritual stuff. Does that make sense? He said that in Luke 17 in the parable of the steward. He said, if you're faithful in that little, He will make you faithful over many. What is the many? Spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Open heart, blessing, to be a blessing for many. You know, to be Christ-like, an image. You all know Acts 1 and 2. When Christians believed in the beginning, what did they do? Anything they had, they brought it to the feet of the apostles. Why? Why? We have a treasure. We found a treasure that is worthy of leaving everything for that very treasure. Sometimes we are not doing good in this area, which is fine. We can grow in any area. But I have to know that this is a growing area for me. And maybe I should pray for that. You know, God gave me, you know, to grow in this area. I don't want to be a selfish man. I don't want to be like the fool in the Bible that was told, you know, you fool, all these things that you prepared, who are these going to? I don't want to be that fool. I want to be the wise man. So this is something that we ask ourselves and we grow in. I know that this topic, you know, we don't discuss a lot. And usually when we discuss it, it's like, you know, we're talking about this for, you know, the church's need. Yeah, there are needs and everything. And maybe the needs is because, you know, we're not faithful in what we're doing. But seriously, These are given to us, you know, to check and review ourselves and really to grow and to be blessed in this life and the after. We prepared like some discussion questions, but I know exactly that we completely ran out of time. So I will pray so you'll be dismissed. But if anyone, you know, wants to stay and discuss, you know, they're welcome to do that. So let's stand up for prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Lord, we want to give you thanks for all your blessings that are in our lives. Every breath is a gift from you. Every day is a gift from you. Our brains are a gift from you. The talents that you gave us, a gift from you. Every job, every dollar we have, every opportunity, Lord, is a gift from you. You are a generous God, and you want to make us like you. I know that you want to bless us, but you're so afraid that the blessing would ruin our heart and would rule over our heart. Give us to learn the secret, Lord, the secret of this life, that it's not about the here and now, and the security is never in anything materialistic, but the security is in you. Lord, a lot of times I find myself hard to take a step of faith and to give out of faith, even though you've shown me so many times that you will bless, you will reward, but it's a growing area, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, if we robbed you. Forgive us if we lived in the richest country in the world and didn't feel for others. Put this in our heart. Change our hearts, Lord. Make our hearts like yours. Make every and each one of us like you, have your heart, and would be willing to give as you gave your only begotten Son. We thank you. We praise you. Teach us how to give you thanks during this week. And to thank by giving not just one thing or two, but having this life, having this attitude, Lord, that will fill our lives with joy. We praise you. We give you thanks, O Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Hear us, Lord, as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for in the kingdom, the power, the glory. And now may the love of God the Father, grace, wisdom, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. You may depart in peace. May the peace of God be with you.